Karen McPheeters-Leary joins me in the VPR studios. She's the director of the Aphasia Choir, and we're going to learn all about this amazing, unique group of singers. Karen, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much.
Let's, I guess, start at the start. And can you define aphasia for us first?
Absolutely. Aphasia is a language disorder most commonly caused by stroke or traumatic brain injury that results in an individual's inability to communicate with ease. So folks with aphasia have trouble finding words, have trouble putting them together in sentences. Some can't speak at all, but it's the result of left hemisphere brain damage.
So in 2014, you created this group made up of Vermont residents who are aphasia survivors. And you rehearse, and then once a year, you put on this singing performance for the public. Walk us through how that can happen with folks who are unable to speak.
So my background, I'm a speech and language pathologist, and I've known throughout my career that individuals with aphasia have trouble speaking, of course, but I also knew that they were able to sing with relative ease and fluency and fluidity. I also have a background in singing and choral performance, so a few years ago I kind of hatched a dream and said, why not bring these individuals with aphasia together and focus on what they can do? So we had our first group convened in 2014 with 11 brave stroke survivors, and we've grown since then to 21 stroke survivors. And we also include their spouses, caregivers, and we have hospital and community volunteers, students from the University of Vermont studying to become speech and language pathologists. So it's a really robust, cool group, and we have a lot of fun.
That just sounds miraculous, but I get that it's brain function, it's physiology. But still, I'm wondering, does a stroke survivor have already known these songs in order to sing them now that they have aphasia?
So the reason they're able to do this is because they're tapping into the undamaged right hemisphere of the brain. So the left hemisphere for most of us is where our language center is. The right side is what controls recall of familiar melodies, song production, singing, those kinds of skills. So these folks are tapping into that undamaged hemisphere of the brain. It is easier if a song is already known, but they have shown that they are able to learn new material as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bring us into a rehearsal with you then.
Well, we start in mid-March, but I'm like thinking of songs far in advance. Thus far, I've chosen familiar pop tunes, mostly from the 60s and 70s, from, you know, a few from the 50s or earlier. I've pre-selected the songs. I have printed lyric sheets that they follow. They all have a buddy or someone to sit with them and assist them if needed. That's where the volunteers come in. And we work for about 2 months, and then we get ready for that big concert at the beginning of June. June is significant because it's National Aphasia Awareness Month. So our mission is not just to bring these people together and have fun and tap into that right hemisphere of the brain. Our mission is also to educate the public and raise aphasia awareness in our communities.
What the world needs now is love, sweet love.
So we have a broad range of ability and skill. Some people have sung in choirs in the past. Some, they've only sung in the shower or not at all. But it doesn't matter. I think we sound good, though. I say every year, our number one goal is to have fun. Number two is to exercise our brains, which we're doing. And number three, to educate the public. That's our opportunity to let everybody know. For one thing, the stroke survivors introduce the songs so that the audience members can hear their aphasia and understand their challenges. But then we also provide information like, be patient with us. Don't just listen to what we're trying to say. Watch our facial expressions. Watch our gestures. We might try to spell in the air or offer us a piece of paper we might write. As I mentioned, we started in 2014 with 11 stroke survivors and spouses and volunteers, and now we're up to 21 and 19 volunteers. We continue to grow not just as a group, but our audiences are growing as well. I mean, we started out in a space that accommodated 100. June 3rd, we had over 400 people in attendance. And so we're looking for bigger and bigger spaces to perform in. Right now, it's an annual program. But the feedback I've gotten from choir members is they'd like to connect more often because it's good for all of us. I mean, there's a woman in the choir who has been nonverbal for almost 20 years. She uses a speech-generating device to communicate. So she cannot speak at all. She can sing. And she looks forward to the choir program every year because much of the rest of the time she's socially isolated. It's just such an important group, not just for the singing end of it, but for the community, the social interaction, the wellness, the well-being of these people. Many of these people have not witnessed their loved ones or friends singing with ease when all they know is the person who can't talk at all or struggles to communicate. This year, we had a new member named Kate, who's a woman in her 70s, and we sang through the first song just to kind of get to know the tunes. And she raised her hand, and she, in a broken way, she said, "Why can I do this? It's so easy. How is it that I can do this?" She was amazed at her own ability to have this freedom of expression. It's very, very powerful. I feel very rewarded.
I love this story, and I'm so happy that you came in and told us more about it.
Oh, thank you, Mary.
That's Karen McPheeters-Leary, a singer-songwriter in her own right, a speech and language pathologist, and the director of the Aphasia Choir. Find out more about the choir and how to reach Karen at vpr.net.